Uncle Vanya, Scenes from Country Life in Four Acts by Anton Chekhov, narrated by Mark Bowen. Characters: Alexander Serebrikov, a retired professor. Helena, his wife, 27 years old. Sonia, his daughter by a former marriage. Madame Votskaya, widow of a privy councillor, and mother of Serebrikov's first wife. Ivan Vanya Voitsky, her son. Michael Astroff, a doctor. Ilya Waffles Telegin, an impoverished landowner. Marina, an old nurse. A workman. The scene is laid on Serebrikov's country place. Act 1. A country house on a terrace. In front of it, a garden. In an avenue of trees under an old poplar, stands a table set for tea, with a samovar, etc. Some benches and chairs stand near the table. On one of them is lying a guitar. A hammock is swung near the table. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon of a cloudy day. Marina, a quiet, gray-haired little old woman, is sitting at the table knitting a stocking. Astroff is walking up and down near her. Marina, pouring some tea into a glass. Take a little tea, my son. Astroff takes the glass from her unwillingly. Somehow I don't seem to want any. Marina, then will you have a little vodka instead? Astroff, no, I don't drink vodka every day, and besides, it is too hot now. A pause. Tell me, nurse, how long have we known each other? Marina, thoughtfully. Let me see, how long is it? Lord help me to remember. You first came here into our parts, let me think, when was it? Sonia's mother was still alive, it was 2 winters before she died. That was 11 years ago. Thoughtfully. Perhaps more. Astroff. Have I changed much since then? Marina. Oh, yes. You were handsome and young then, and now you are an old man and not handsome any more. You drink, too. Astroff. Yes, 10 years have made me another man. And why? Because I am overworked. Nurse, I am on my feet from dawn till dusk. I know no rest. At night I tremble under my blankets for fear of being dragged out to visit someone who is sick. I have toiled without repose or a day's freedom since I have known you. Could I help growing old? And then existence is tedious anyway. It is a senseless, dirty business, this life, and goes heavily. Everyone about here is silly, and after living with them for 2 or 3 years, one grows silly oneself. It is inevitable. Twisting his mustache. See what a long mustache I have grown. A foolish long mustache. Yes, I am as silly as the rest, nurse, but not as stupid. No, I have not grown stupid. Thank God my brain is not addled yet, though my feelings have grown numb. I ask nothing, I need nothing. I love no one unless it is yourself alone. He kisses her head. I had a nurse just like you when I was a child. Marina. Don't you want a bite of something to eat? Astroff. No. During the 3rd week of Lent, I went to the epidemic at Melitskoy. It was eruptive typhoid. The peasants were all lying side by side in their huts, and the calves and pigs were running about the floor among the sick. Such dirt there was, and smoke, unspeakable. I slaved among those people all day. Not a crumb passed my lips, but when I got home, there was still no rest for me. A switchman was carried in from the railroad. I laid him on the operating table, and he went and died in my arms under chloroform. And then my feelings that should have been deadened awoke again. My conscience tortured me as if I had killed the man. I sat down and closed my eyes, like this, and thought, will our descendants 200 years from now, for whom we are breaking the road, remember to give us a kind word? No, nurse, they will forget. Marina, man is forgetful, but God remembers. Astrov, thank you for that. You have spoken the truth. Enter Voitsky from the house. He has been asleep after dinner, and looks rather disheveled. He sits down on the bench and straightens his collar. Voitsky. Yes. A pause. Yes? Astrov. Have you been asleep? Voitsky. Yes, very much so. He yawns. Ever since the professor and his wife have come, our daily life seems to have jumped the track. I sleep at the wrong time, drink wine, and eat all sorts of messes for luncheon and dinner. It isn't wholesome. Sonya and I used to work together, and never had an idle moment. But now Sonya works alone, and I only eat and drink and sleep. Something is wrong. Marina, shaking her head. Such a confusion in the house. The professor gets up at 12. The samovar is kept boiling all the morning, and everything has to wait for him. Before they came, we used to have dinner at 1 o'clock, like everybody else, but now we have it at 7. The professor sits up all night writing and reading, and suddenly at 2 o'clock there goes the bell. Heavens, what is that? The professor wants some tea. Wake the servants. Light the samovar. Lord, what disorder! Astrov. Will they be here long? Voitsky. 100 years. The professor has decided to make his home here. Marina. Look at this now. The samovar has been on the table for 2 hours, and they are all out walking. Voitsky. All right, don't get excited. Here they come. Voices are heard approaching. Serebrakov, Helena, Sonya, and Telegin come in from the depths of the garden, returning from their walk. Serebrakov. Superb! Superb! What beautiful views! Telegin. They are wonderful, Your Excellency. Sonya. Tomorrow we shall go into the woods, shall we, Papa? Voitsky. Ladies and gentlemen, tea is ready. Serebrakov. Won't you please be good enough to send my tea into the library? I still have some work to finish. Sonya. I am sure you will love the woods. Helena, Serebrakov, and Sonya go into the house. Telegin sits down at the table beside Marina. Voitsky. There goes our learned scholar on a hot, sultry day like this, in his overcoat and galoshes, and carrying an umbrella. Astrov. He is trying to take good care of his health. Voitsky. How lovely she is, how lovely. I have never in my life seen a more beautiful woman. Telegin. Do you know, Marina, that as I walk in the fields or in the shady garden, as I look at this table here, my heart swells with unbounded happiness. The weather is enchanting. The birds are singing. We are all living in peace and contentment. What more could the soul desire? Takes a glass of tea. Voitsky, dreaming. Such eyes, a glorious woman. Astrov. Come, Ivan, tell us something. Voitsky, indolently. What shall I tell you? Astrov. Haven't you any news for us? Voitsky. No, it is all stale. I am just the same as usual. Or perhaps worse, because I have become lazy. I don't do anything now, but croak like an old raven. My mother, the old magpie, is still chattering about the emancipation of woman, with one eye on her grave, and the other on her learned books, in which she is always looking for the dawn of a new life. Astrov. And the professor? Voitsky. The professor sits in his library from morning till night, as usual. Straining the mind, wrinkling the brow, we write, without respite, or hope of praise in the future or now. Poor paper. He ought to write his autobiography. He would make a really splendid subject for a book. Imagine it.